Six blocks of rose-colored stone stand shoulder to shoulder at the top of this hill, the tallest over 4 meters, each weighing more than 50 tons, and nobody can fully tell you how they got here. Not rhetorically. Literally. The stone is rhyolite, and its quarry, Kachikata, is visible from where you stand, across the valley, 6 kilometers away, high on the opposite mountainside. To bring one block here, work crews had to move it down that slope, across the Urubamba River, and up this one. The ramps they used are still traceable on both mountains. So are the blocks that never arrived, enormous dressed stones lying along the route where they stopped. The Quechua name for them is Piedras Cansadas. The tired stones. Hold that phrase, because it is not decoration. Carolyn Dean, who has spent her career on how the Inca understood stone, reads it as testimony. In the Andes, rock was alive, and the tired stones were beings who declined to finish the journey. Garcilaso de la Vega, born to an Inca mother in 1539, recorded that one of them wept blood. You can take that as folklore wrapped around logistics. Dean's point is that the builders would not have recognized the distinction. In their world, you did not haul a 50-ton stone against its will. You persuaded it. Jean-Pierre Protzen mapped every stage of this route in the 1990s, the quarry, the tool marks, the abrasives, the ramps. He shaped Inca-style blocks with his own hands and settled forever the question of whether human beings can cut stone this way. He also stayed honest about what his experiments did not settle. How 50-ton monoliths crossed a river and climbed this hill remains, on his own account, an open problem. Others push further. Jesus Gamora, a Cusco researcher extending his father's life work, argues the finest pieces here belong to an epoch older than the Inca, inherited stone that Inca crews were re-erecting when history interrupted them. Brian Foster has carried that argument to a global audience, pointing at these exact 6 blocks. Mainstream archaeology reads the wall as the unfinished Sun Temple of the Emperor Pachacuti's royal estate, raised by rotating MITA labor crews whose quotas and chicha rations the Spanish records logged. All of those readings are standing in front of the same wall, including the thin vertical filler stones between the monoliths, which nobody fully agrees on either. Look as long as you like, and take your pick. Why was it left unfinished? Here the record is unusually good, because the Spanish wrote down their own defeat. In 1537, Manco Inca, holding this fortress as the last open base of his rebellion, flooded the plain below through the irrigation channels and broke Hernando Pizarro's cavalry charge. Pedro Pizarro, who was there, recorded it, and a conquistador chronicling his own side's humiliation is about as trustworthy as 16th-century sourcing gets. Then Manco withdrew toward Vilcabamba, the masons put down their tools mid-shift, and the answer to every question you are asking walked off this hill with them. The knotted cord archives that might have preserved it were burned in the decades that followed. One more thing nearly vanished, and you can carry it back down with you. The Quechua name of this hilltop precinct is Aracama Ailu, the lineage of Aracama. This wall was a working temple for a community with a name, not a riddle on a postcard. Say it once before you walk to the water channels. Aracama. The tired stones stopped on the road. The name made it all the way here.